being home more these days, I bet you're watching a little bit more TV than you normally do. And I'm sure every single one of you have seen those commercials advertising a new drug that will help a specific ailment. And I got to tell you, when my kids and I see them, they always make us laugh a little bit. Because first off, everyone is perfectly happy and it appears life couldn't be better, even if they're dealing with something that is debilitating. But truth is, that's not really the reason we laugh. We laugh because every time after hearing the amazing promise of what this new medication can do, we hear this absurd list of side effects that sometimes feels like it never stops. You know what I'm talking about, right? Take, for instance, a new medication that helps you sleep better. In the commercial, there's this woman's soothing voice, which promises an amazing night's sleep. And it shows all these people sleeping, has birds flying through the commercial. It's got spa music going on. It's so soothing and relaxing. And then that same woman's voice says this: when taking this medication, don't drive or operate machinery until you feel fully awake. Walking, eating, driving, or engaging in other activities while asleep without remembering it the next day have been reported. And some of you are like, dude, that's my life. That's me all the time. And she goes on, abnormal behaviors may include aggressiveness, agitation, hallucinations, or confusion. Allergic reactions such as tongue or throat swelling occur and may be fatal. Side effects include unpleasant taste, headache, drowsiness, and dizziness. And I'm like, with those side effects, I wouldn't be sleeping at all. I'd be up all night wondering which one would manifest in me. The promise is a perfect night's sleep. The caveat is 100 things that might go wrong. Have you ever banked on a promise and had it fail? I mean, it could be a medication, it could be a warranty, or the promise of a product that never came through. But when you experience something like that, it never feels great. And so just for a moment right now, wherever you're at, whoever you're watching with, if it's your family, if you're alone and you can engage in the chat room, I'd love for you to answer that question. Have you ever banked on a promise and had it fail? Just talk amongst yourselves or on the chat room right now. Thanks for engaging that question. And by the way, if you are in your Zoom small groups this week, why don't you just take some time to share with each other your answers to that very question? Now, we're in a series entitled Promise Keeper, where we're focusing on promises from God that we can position our lives on, promises we can count on, promises with no fine print, expiry, or side effects. And these days, we all need some promises to stand upon. Because, you know, God knows there's enough going on where we're sinking more than standing, and we're not sure what else is going to be pulled away from underneath us. And so if you're watching today and you need some solid footing, if you feel like you're slowly sinking, if you need a promise to hang on to and to guide you, this is for you. What I want to do is I want to take you to a time in history where the nation of Israel had been released from their captivity from Egypt. They were essentially moving into a next, but they were still going through some really extreme difficulties. And God speaks to them during this season of their life. It's recorded by an Old Testament prophet called Isaiah. And just so you understand and know, prophets were spokespersons for God. And I actually believe this is a great word for us today in this season. And the promise I want you to hear, the promise I want to land today is simply this: you are His. Friends, you are His. In fact, you know what I want you to do? I want you to write this promise down somewhere. So if you're in your kitchen, your bedroom, your living room, I want you to grab a pen, a marker, whatever you got, and I want you to write it down on a small pad, big piece of paper, but I want you to personalize it, okay? Not you are His, but I am His. Such a potent, such a real promise. Just like this, I am His. And you know why I want you to write it down? Because just hearing it is not enough. Just seeing it is not enough. When you write this down, it does something inside of you. I am His. You are His. And I'm going to show you this by walking through a passage found in Isaiah. Now, first off, I want to remind you, this is God speaking, okay? So I'm not making these words up. These aren't some writer's thoughts. This is directly from the mouth of God into your life, into your heart, into your mind, and into your circumstance. So I hope that you have your physical Bibles with you. Pastor Matt, at the beginning of this service, actually asked you to go get them. So wherever they're at, I want you to pull them out right now, and I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah. That's about just a little over the halfway mark in your Bible, in case you don't know. And I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 43. And what I want to do is I want us to look at the first three verses. Isaiah chapter 43, we're going to start with verse 1. And it actually says this: "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel. Do not fear, for I've redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." Now, when something starts with, "This is what the Lord says," can I tell you? It's legit. Like, you can bank on this. This is what God says to you. And what does God say? Here it is. "Do not fear." Do not fear. Now, I've spoken on fear, I don't know, just over a month ago. And I said, during this time as Christians, we choose faith over fear. And just by the way, if you've missed it, I encourage you to check it out, since I'm not going to be spending a lot of time on this today. God is reminding the Israelites that whatever they're facing, they don't have to fear. And what's interesting is this is something God constantly has to remind His people about over and over again. Do not fear. And I think we too need to be reminded of this time and time again, because whenever we're facing uncertainty, whenever we're in a place where our foundation has been shaken a bit, it's natural to fear. But God is saying, do not fear, do not be afraid, do not panic. But more than just dropping this command, He provides the framework of why we do not have to fear. Like, listen to what He says next. "I have summoned you by name. You are mine." Man, there's the promise. You are His. I am His. But check this out. This is what God says, and I love this word. "I have summoned you." That's a potent word there, because it means He urgently calls you to be present. He's saying, okay, this is of utmost importance. I need you to hear this. I need you to get this. I need you to understand this. And what's so important that God wants you to know? You want to know what it is? He says, "I know your name." Friends, God knows your name. The God of the universe, the one who orchestrates all in eternity, knows your name. The one who created and formed you. We see that right here. He created you. He formed you. The one who designed you to be alive at this time in history. The one who said, "You are mine." That God knows your name. That God sees you. That God loves you. He knows you. Every part of you. The good, the bad, the ugly, and He actually cares about every detail in your life. Jesus said it this way: "What is the price of 5 sparrows? 2 copper coins? In other words, they're not worth that much. Yet God does not forget a single one of them. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows." You see, right down to the smallest details of our life, God knows what's going on. God cares about what's going on. And part of being known and loved by God is He actually doesn't keep us where we're at. He's all about changing us, all about making us more like Him. And that's the thing about God. He never leaves us where we're at. He's always creating us into something new, something different, something better. He says it this way: "See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" And He does this time and time again. He changes us to be someone different than we were. In fact, He then labels us differently. And throughout the Bible, we we realize that names are a big deal to God. We see multiple incidents of where he takes someone and gives them a new name, which then shapes and forms their destiny. He changed Abram to Abraham, going from exalted father to the father of many nations. He changed Jacob to Israel, going from follow to one who struggled with God and overcame. He changed Simon to Peter, going from fisherman to the rock that he's going to build his church on. God knows your name, friends, and in him knowing your identity, you are forever changed. And that means he doesn't call you as you once were. He calls you new. He calls you remade. He calls you chosen. He has changed your past, and that gives you a new identity. He knows you by that new identity. Paul, he's a New Testament writer. He actually puts it this way: so you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. He also wrote this: for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You are God's handiwork. Your past is not who you are today. Your past is and can be forgiven. Your past doesn't need to define you. Your past doesn't need to burden you. He knows you by name, and friend, you are his. Well, then he goes on to describe what this promise means to us. And so I want to go to verse 2 here of Isaiah 43. It says this: when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Man, I love those words. They are so fitting for the times we're living in. And you know, much of the Bible was written for people living in difficult times, or written by people living in difficult times. And until we find ourselves in a spot like that, we realize that so much around us is futile except for words that we can depend upon, except for promises from God. Now notice the language here. It says, when you pass through the waters, when you pass through the rivers, when you walk through the fire. It's not an if this happens, but when this happens. And as much as every single one of us would love a carefree life, as much as most of us would just prefer living the dream, God is saying, life doesn't work like that. You will find yourself in those when days, those when moments, seasons that you're facing something very difficult, something bigger than you, something that could make you fearful. We're living in a when season globally. All of us are wondering, okay, how long is this going to last? What will the other side of COVID-19 look like? Will our economy bounce back? Will our investments recover? Will our health be affected? Will our nurses and teachers and frontline workers have consequences from these days? The when is happening real time. And on a more personal level, your when might be a loss of a job. Your when might be financial loss. It might be a health issue. It might be she left you with nothing. It might be loneliness, addiction, worry. And God is saying, as you face these things, I want you to know something that I don't want you to forget. You are mine. I'm going to be with you during those when times. Now look at the trials he's referencing here, right? He says, when you pass through the waters, when you pass through the rivers, and when you walk through the fire. Three different kinds of trials here. And notice, there's an incremental succession happening here. The trials are building in intensity. So he's not just saying it's for the small things that we face. It's in everything that we face. It's in every single when of our life that God speaks to us and says, you are mine. I'm with you. And he starts with the waters. And here's the deal. Waters are like puddles, okay? They're shallow in nature. They are a nuisance. I don't know about you guys, but there's nothing more that I hate right after I've cleaned my car than to drive through a puddle and you know, you get all this dirt and all these water spots on your vehicle again. So he starts with water, but then he moves on to the rivers. And rivers are much deeper in nature. They have the potential to drown us. They have the capability to wash everything out from underneath us. They can be fast flowing, and all rivers eventually end up in a larger body of water. Rivers are bigger things that we can face. And then God even talks about the fire. That's intense, man. Fire are the most devastating because they consume everything. They take out anything in their path. They can spread rapidly and are much harder to control. Now just listen again to what God says. When you pass through the waters, I'm with you. When you pass through the rivers, they're not going to sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. You know what I hear? I hear this. We're going to get wet walking through the water. We're going to get soaked passing through the river. We may even get singed walking through the fire. But friends, listen to me. Yeah, we may take a hit in an area of our life, but it's not going to take you out. The water will not sweep over you, and the fire will not consume you. So whatever you are facing, whatever is in front of you, whatever is having to be dealt with today, that is not going to take you out. Why? Because you are His. He knows you by name. He's so with you through all of this. Notice these words. When you pass through. When you pass through the rivers, when you walk through the fire, you know what that means? It means there's another side to this. You're not going to stay here forever. This is a season, a temporary season. There is another season coming. It's going to look different. Yeah, it should look different. Difficulties change us, but there is another side to this. You will pass through this. You know, I hear a lot of times these days the comment that I just can't wait until things get back to normal. You know, my hunch is that so much in this world is not going to go back to what we had. Our normal may very well look different. When we pass through what we are facing, our other side might be completely altered, but that isn't always such a bad thing. You know, I wonder how our workplaces are going to change. How schooling might look different. I'm really wondering how church might change, because much of what we have lived with might take a different slant. And here's the thing for those saying, we can't wait to get back to normal. For many people, when normal was normal, you didn't like normal either. You know what I'm saying? So maybe God is positioning us in the world to take us out of our normal and into His next. He's saying, live for what matters most. Live for what bears eternal consequences. Live for the things that can so easily be forgotten in your normal. Will normal come back? I'm not sure. But just like when we get wet, just like when we get singed, we aren't the same person after these things, but we are better people. We are changed people. We have a deeper understanding of priorities and of God. And friends, you are His. You will pass through this. You will see another side, another season. He is with you, and you don't have to be afraid. He knows your name. He knows you intimately. And I absolutely love what God says next. Check out verse number 3 here of Isaiah chapter 43. It says this, "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." So God starts this by saying, hey, I know your name, meaning I'm in control, you are mine. But then you see what He's doing here? He reminds us again of who He is. He gives us His name. And here's the beauty, not just one name, but He gives us 4 names of Himself here. All right? He says, first off, I am the Lord. Now, this passage was originally written in Hebrew, and the Hebrew word here is Yahweh, meaning this is the everlasting statement of His character, meaning He's the one who delivers and redeems His people. And then He goes on, He says, I am your God. He is personal to each and every single one of us. He is our friend. He's not just out there far away, but close and intimate. And then He says, I am the Holy One. Yeah, God is holy, yet He loves sinful people. And he underscores in this name his apartness here, that no one is like him. Nothing matches who he is. And then he lands with this, I am your Savior. Now in context, he saved Israel from the perilous captivity that they found themselves in, from that season of when, from one of the worst times in their life. And he's saying to us as well, I am your Savior. Guess what? I can save you. I've got you. And there's no chance, friends, that he left that name for the end. Because he's reminding us that, yeah, we're going to pass through this. You know why? Because his name is Savior. Now, the biggest thing he saved us from is death itself. He sent his son Jesus to pay the price we couldn't for the forgiveness of our sins, to die on a cross, to rise, and to be exalted into heaven. And he is saying, I've saved you from the consequences of sin and death, but further than that, I'm your Savior who can save you in your moments of when. When you pass through the waters, when you pass through the rivers, when you walk through the fire, I am your Savior. When my girls were younger, I remember taking them to West Edmonton Mall Water Park. I'm sure we've all been there. And we went into the wave pool. And both my daughters now are great swimmers. But when they were younger, they hadn't learned to swim that good yet. And we would go into the wave pool and they would hang onto me around my neck and just enjoy the ride. And I can tell you, they wouldn't let go. And as crazy as it was trying to balance in the waves, as crazy as it was trying to not get their heads underwater, and as crazy as it was feeling nails digging into the back of my neck at times, there was no way I was going to loosen my grip. No way that I was going to loosen my stance or lose my stance. No way that I was going to get taken under. No way that I was going to let them go. I fought, I pushed, I steadied myself, and I took them through the experience. Friends, you are his. Like any father who would watch out for their kids in any circumstance and do anything for them, God is there saying the same thing. You're mine. And you may be living in a season of when, but remember, I love this. This is just a season and there's another one coming. I'm here with you. Do not fear. In case you forgot, I'm the Lord your God, the Holy One, your Savior. And I don't think it gets any better than that. I don't think you have any subscripts here that you've missed. I don't think you need any more reassurance. Today, walk in the hope, walk in the confidence, walk in the promise that God says you are his. Let me pray with us in closing. God, I love your encouraging words here that you give to every single one of us. They're old words that were spoken to Israel so many thousands of years ago, but yet they're so real and pertinent to our lives today. And so, Father, I pray that everyone watching may understand that you are their God, that you are their Father, that they are yours, and you're walking this road with them. You're there for them. You can steer them. You can guide them. And as they walk through so many of life's challenges and trials, they can depend upon you because they are yours. And so I thank you for the promise that we have, that you go before us, you are with us, you take us through things. I thank you for the promise that we have in the confidence of who you are. And so, Lord, I pray today for that individual who's walking through something, who feels like it's never going to stop and it's tough. I pray today that they know they are yours and you're there with them, that they will see another side, that there is another season coming, that they can trust you and put their confidence and hope in you. You know, if you're watching and you just don't know Jesus personally, And today you're saying, I want that Jesus in my life. I want to walk with God. I want to know him. I'm going to pray a prayer that just begins a journey with Christ. And I'm going to ask you to pray along with me. Jesus, today I see my need for you in my life. You truly are my Savior. And so as I recognize that, I thank you for coming to this earth, for living a sinless life, for dying on the cross, for rising again, for the forgiveness of my sins, and that I may have hope and life eternally. And so today I want to pattern my life after yours, and I want to say thank you for being my Savior. Thank you for coming alongside of me in my life and for making a difference.
And so I just surrender all that I am to you. And Lord, I pray for every individual, for every couple, and for every family that's watching me right now. May they sense you moving and working in their life. I pray strength, wisdom, protection, health, guidance, provision upon their lives. You know whatever it is they're walking through. And may the Lord, our God, the Holy One, our Savior, be so real and be so evident in their lives, in their homes, and in their circumstances. And I pray this all in your incredible name, Christ. Amen. If you prayed that prayer of surrendering your life to Christ, maybe for the first time or a rededication prayer, I would love for you to text the word life to 555-888. First off, let me just say, way to go. Super proud of you for making this choice. We actually believe at Hope City that following Jesus is the best decision anyone can make. And as you text that number, you're going to automatically get a digital booklet in your hand that just talks a little bit more about knowing Jesus and doing life with Jesus. And it gives you an opportunity to connect with one of our pastors on our team. Friends, know this, you're loved, you're prayed for consistently, and in this season, I don't want you to forget this promise. You are His. God bless.